G'day, Lachlan.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us here at 2SER. I put the call out. I was trying to find someone who was like obsessed with football, really keen, watches all the games, and was happy to chat on air. And here you are. Welcome to radio.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever done something like this, so I'm pretty nervous, but should be all right.
Nah, it's all right. We're just shooting the shit about football. So just
talking about nothing.
What more could you want? Look, it's a great tournament. I love it every 4 years. It's one of those things that us as Australians, we have to put up with by staying up late or getting up very early to watch the game. So it can be tough to function after watching a lot of games. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I work nights as my day job, well, my night job, should I say. But I feel like it's something that we're always going to have to deal with these big tournaments. Someone who's a massive Premier League supporter, I have to do it for 38 weeks a year.
Yep.
Look, I don't know.
Until we get the tournament here in Australia one day, then when we can have a times at a reasonable hour. But mind you, that first game, Australia-France, we played at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 p.m. So this World Cup, they've tried to stagger the start time. So it's 8 p.m. over here, 10 p.m., 1 a.m., 3 a.m.
It's not too bad.
It's not too bad. It's pretty doable. Someone like me, I'm going to be up all night watching the games.
Now, there's been a lot that's gone on down in 1 week. We'll talk about the specific teams firstly, but we have to cover the technical problems. Optus got the rights, shared it with SBS. So basically, SBS got the rights, couldn't afford them, then handed off most of the two-thirds of the games to Optus. And they've pretty much dropped the ball, haven't you?
They've really messed up here. I feel like the fact that they've had to give it back to SBS for 48 hours is a massive...
Well, you haven't heard the news. They've just announced that SBS will be showing all the group matches in every game every night until the end of the group stage. So
it's
only just been announced about half an hour ago.
Yeah,
so
completely missed that.
Great news for all of us who maybe don't have Optus or have to go to watch it somewhere else. So you can watch it at home on SBS HD. So it's
a more comfortable.
Good.
But they really dropped the ball there. Hey, their excuse that they didn't think this many people would be watching the World Cup. I thought that was super lame.
Yeah, I blame the crappy internet these countries got, and that
it's so bad. I had to change my entire internet over to Optus for this.
Did you? That's a hardcore. I love it.
No longer. Yeah, had to be with Optus. I was really upset.
But that's good news. SBS are going to be doing as much as they can. And just because I work at SBS, a little bit spruik, they are playing every single game on SBS Radio, live on SBS Radio in multiple languages. So if you ever can't get to a TV, you can catch it on the radio as well.
Perfect.
That's just my little plug. Now, let's talk about the first round. Every team has now played a game, and we're starting to get a bit of a feel for which teams are going to make it, which ones aren't. We've already seen Russia kick ass twice. Home nation. I didn't expect this. They won 5-0, and then
5-0 and 3-1, and they came into the lowest ranked team in the World Cup, one spot behind Saudi Arabia. They beat 5-0 in the opening round. I think they got a pretty talented squad. Got some good individuals. I feel like they're playing very well as a team.
Yeah,
as a country. They only have two players in the 23 that play outside of Russia.
Wow.
So they're very kind of unified in the way that they play football.
They know each other's play. Yeah.
They play in the same league. Most of them do. Cheryshev, who plays, is one of the two that doesn't play in Russia, is playing really well. He scored 3 goals in 2 games, 2 off the bench in the first game, and he scored 1 last night. Boom. He's looking super sharp, plays for Villarreal in Spain.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I think Russia...
Well, it's great to see, because it's a bit sad for me. I'm a Liverpool fan, and Mo Salah, I was looking forward to seeing in Egypt, and now Egypt are pretty much out.
It would take an amazing effort for Saudi Arabia to get anything against Uruguay, but it's pretty much done for them, which is unfortunate, because I really like Mo Salah as a player.
Yeah, me too. Of course, we have to talk about Australia. They played France on Saturday night, and it was a massive buzz about it, because it's a big game, and France are a bloody top team. They're one of the favourites.
Well, they had the most expensive squad of all time.
And we matched it, man. We were one
we
all.
We looked great. We looked good for a long part of the game. I feel like, and Bert definitely quoted saying that we were going to play like Atletico Madrid and kind of like take it to the better teams.
Yeah.
A team we've competed with, Barcelona, Real Madrid, all like for 4 or 5 seasons now. And we're just going to really get in people's faces, play high-pressure counter-attacking football. And it might work. It could work against teams like Denmark. I think France just had a little bit too much quality for us in the end.
They did. I mean, France looking a bit rattled, though. They were pretty worried there for a while.
I think that's definitely what Australia's going for. They're kind of just trying to like stun the better teams, kind of come at them super fast and kind of fluster other players.
This does bring up the controversy of that penalty that France were awarded. It was the first ever VAR penalty awarded in a World Cup, where basically it was a sliding tackle from behind. He did get the ball first, but his trailing leg got him. What do you reckon?
What I reckon about VAR or the penalty?
Well, that penalty, first of all.
I think it was a penalty.
Yeah.
I think it was the right decision to call it a penalty.
Right.
But on VAR, I think VAR should be scrapped.
Oh, here we go.
I'm very opposed to VAR. I think it ruins the flow of the game.
Yep.
And if they are going to use it, they should only use it in dead ball situations, such as red or yellow card, or who it came off last, or is it a free kick or a penalty if it's on the edge of the box.
Yep.
I feel like it ruins the flow of the games, and it was up to me, which is definitely not, I would completely scrap it for the World Cup finals.
Because I didn't quite like how everyone just thought, oh, it's not a penalty, and the game kept on going. And all of a sudden,
exactly,
they flick back to it, and they're like, oh, wait a sec.
It completely ruins the flow of the game.
Yeah.
And I feel like the refs are being quite reserved in the way they're using it, because this is the first major tournament it's been used in. It's been used in the Confederations Cup, FA Cup, International Friendlies, Serie A, and Bundesliga.
Yep.
So two of those fights are pretty big platforms, but nothing like the World Cup.
It's
the end game, basically. I feel like refs are being quite reserved to avoid criticism.
And I've noticed that the assistant refs aren't really calling those offsides what they think are going to be offside, because they know, oh, well, if they score, we can just go back and look at it.
It can just be VAR. So I think that ruins like the nuance of football for me. I feel like everyone, human errors are a part of the game. So,
well, it's happened in all sports, right? I mean,
exactly. It's
league,
it's
union, cricket. Every sport now has got some sort of video referee. And I don't like it either. I'm not a fan. I like what happens on the field, and yeah, mistakes might happen now and then, but they go either way, you know?
Yeah, I feel like you might, you'll get a decision one week and it'll go against you the next week. It all feel like it all balances itself out in the end.
Well, we can't avoid it. It's going to be there. And in the end, I suppose it could perhaps, you know, dictate the results, but hopefully it won't change things too much.
Yeah, we'll see.
So in the first round, everyone's played a game now. Who are you looking at as favourites or good things so far?
Favourites? I think Spain looked really good against Portugal.
Yeah.
It's just a shame that Ronaldo just went superhuman and scored that hat-trick and that free kick in the 80th minute.
Yeah.
What a man.
Yeah, he's...
Look, they played really well with the triangle offence, and they're kind of passing the ball really well, moving it really well, especially down the left with the Isco.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking really sharp. I think Belgium are not getting as much credit as they should.
Yep.
I think an underrated player for Belgium is definitely Dries Mertens.
Mm-hmm.
Played in Napoli. He scored, 48 league goals
in
the past two seasons for Napoli.
Yep.
He's looking super sharp. He scored their first-time volley. Lobbed it over the keeper.
Yeah.
He's looking super sharp. I think Germany got off to a slow start.
They'll bounce back.
They'll bounce back. They're a super
team. They're too good a team.
They're
right?
a super team. And then I'm a bit iffy on France. I think they're a bit young.
Yeah.
Portugal, a one-trick pony. Same as Argentina. I feel like they play through Messi too much.
Yeah.
Brazil, I don't know what they're doing by not... Like, all they're doing is playing through Neymar.
Relying
on him way too much. But they have so much other talent. They have players like Firmino sitting on the bench, starting over Jesus. Firmino's proven to play well with Coutinho.
Yeah,
they played
2 years
at Liverpool together.
Cracking goal from Coutinho, though.
Oh, mate, outside the box curler.
So good.
Looks amazing.
And then you've got the teams that, you know, my surprise, and there's a few that have done that already, I reckon. I mean, Japan last night looked, you know, they were a gutsy little team.
Japan have always been gutsy like that, though.
It was so cool to watch.
So good to watch.
Yeah. And then we didn't quite get as much as we wanted out of Nigeria, but Iceland, what about those guys?
Iceland, in my opinion, it should be everyone's second favourite team.
I think
They have the best fans in football. I was actually reading the other day that out of all the TVs tuned into their first game, 99.6% of them were tuned into the Iceland game.
Wow.
And
that's passion.
I really like that a lot of their players, this is a second job for them. Their right back is a salt maker.
What?
Their coach is a film director. I think it's the goalkeeper's a dentist as well. I feel like the Icelandic is really underrated. And they're not here to make numbers. They really show that their first performance. They're actually here to compete. They will compete.
And they're in a group where... Yeah, you've got Croatia and Argentina in there who are probably looking better than them. But you never know. You never know. Iceland could pop up a surprise.
I feel like they might. They're also massive humans.
What are they? It's all like fish they have up there, is it? What are they?
Well, I don't even know, but I know that the smallest player on their team is 6'1".
What?
Yeah. Bloody hell. Just huge.
There you go. Something in the genes, I reckon. Now, Australia-Denmark tomorrow night. It's game two. It's a must draw or win for us. We have to get some points out of this game. I really like Sainsbury in that first game. He's already getting interest from his performance in that game from Europe.
I think Sainsbury's a really good defender. He's top quality through the middle.
Yeah.
But I love Australia, and as much as I want them to win, I think Denmark too just have a little bit too much quality, especially with the likes of Christian Eriksen running the ball.
Yeah.
Just playing it through the middle. He is a superstar player. And he really proved that with Tottenham over the past few years. He's really grown into his role. He's really taking charge of this team.
So you reckon there's no chance? We're not going to get
I'm not
going to
say no
points.
Chance because the style we're playing is pretty intense, but I feel like we just don't have that superstar caliber player that they do at the moment.
Yeah, look, and Cahill probably will get some time, I reckon, in the second game, and they'll give him a chance to sort of super goal, go in the echelons of Pelé and score a goal in, what is it, 4 World Cups in a row?
Yeah, 4 now.
It'd be pretty awesome if you can do
it'd
it.
It'd be sick. It'd be pretty cool, but yeah. I don't know. They do look pretty good, and they're pretty strong at the back as well.
Yeah, it is a tough group. I mean, we're playing Denmark and then Peru, and they're both ranked, I think, 10th, 11th.
10th, yeah, but
11th in the world.
I'm a strong believer that the FIFA rankings don't actually
stand
for too much.
Well, there's lots to go. I think we're only, 17 games down and out of 60-odd.
So 64. Like that.
So we've still got about another 40 to go.
Yeah.
Hopefully you survive. You know, you get enough sleep and you manage to get to the end.
I hope so. I'm planning on it.
Right. Chuck us just out of the air. Who's in the final?
Who's in the final?
Yeah.
It's really hard. Like, I've been looking very closely at who's going to get out of the groups. But if I was to speak the top two best teams,
yeah,
I'd say Spain. And Spain and Germany, just because Germany have the quality to get there. But if they keep on faulting and they keep on playing Kadir in the centre mid, they're going to look pretty weak.
Well, there we go.
And they might not make it. But Spain's probably my number one to win it at the moment. They're just looking really sharp.
Cool, because then we can revisit this in 3 weeks and see how you went.
There we go.
All right, Lachlan Neil, giving us a bit of an update on the World Cup so far, some of his tips, really good insights as well. I reckon we should get you back and chat about this again in the next couple of weeks.
I'd be more than happy to. Let me know.
Sweet.